Well, good morning, folks. This is Evangelist Oliver Areza, and we are coming to you live from the studios here at WVGV. And we had an exciting morning coming up. We're kind of delaying chapel just a little bit. We had some calls come in, just a string of calls. I call it a Holy Ghost roll. Amen. And had several folks call in. So we're going to get the board updated. So we are going to back chapel up a little bit. And then also we have an interview coming up, and we are going to make a connection with evangelist, missionary evangelist Don Oswardy. And he is a missionary to Oriol, Russia. And I think probably Brother Don's listening now. I can see the bubble pop up there, the Russian Federation. So Brother Don, we'll get you to call in at 11:30. All right, 11:30, that's Eastern Standard Time. And we'll make a connection. I know that you've got the Skype number there handy. So we will make that happen, and hope that you'll invite your folks to listen in. Brother Don is involved right now with an issue, the Russian government, where they're trying to shut his work down, and he feels very strongly that his work there, his effort, is going to really prolong the ability for missionaries to get the gospel to the Russian people. So it's very important interview coming up at 11:30 this morning. So we've got chapel coming up, and we've got them inside here updating the board.
You're listening to WVGV's annual Fall Share-a-thon. To pledge your support of any size donation, dial the pledge line at 304-873-2225.
And then we'll take another break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about today's topic. But I'm going to have a missionary calling in here shortly, Brother Don Oswardy, who I've interviewed on Drive Time, and he's going to update us on what's going on over there in Russia with his case over there, and he'll explain all about that. But we're going to take a break. We'll come right back here in just a few moments.
Come out to West Union and stop by WVGV Radio.
Brother Marlon Fleck, known as the Apple Cider Preacher,
will be at the radio station Thursday and Friday, October 6th and 7th.
Apple Cider will be available for a donation of $10 per gallon.
Stop by and pick up a fresh pressed gallon to enjoy.
All right, John Slabaugh here, WVGV's Share-a-thon, and we have a missionary, Don Oswardy. I'm establishing the connection with him now. I think I have him on the line. Brother Oswardy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Good deal. And Brother, we have you live here on WVGV during our Share-a-thon here. We have a lot of folks listening right now. And just to update the listeners out there, I have interviewed Brother Oswardy a few weeks ago, referencing he's a missionary to Russia, and there's a court case over there where they're trying to shut down his ministry. And Brother Oswardy, give us a quick update on what happened, and you were appealing that, and let us know what's going on.
Okay, real briefly, back in July, a new law was passed. It's an anti-terrorism law, but they are using it against religious groups. In August, they came to my Sunday morning Bible study that we have in our home, and we had about 14 people there, and three policemen walked in. They didn't knock on the door or ring the bell. They just walked right in, identified themselves as policemen, and I told them I wasn't going to talk to them until we finished the service, and they were okay with that. They sat down and observed what we were doing. Afterwards, they took me to the police station, and they charged me with illegal missionary activity. They took me to a courthouse that same Sunday afternoon, and I stood before a judge, and the judge very quickly ruled that I was guilty and that I must pay a fine of 40,000 rubles, which works out to about $600. I was given, of course, in a court system, you almost always have an option to appeal. We had 10 days to appeal. I had a team of lawyers in Moscow that works on religious freedom issues. They prepared an appeal for me, and we appealed it. The first hearing on that appeal was September the 19th, postponed. We had a hearing, but the judge said, I'm not ready to make a decision yet. I need more information. So last Friday, September the 30th, we had our second hearing on our appeal, and the judge decided that I am still considered guilty. So at this point, I am considered still to be against the law in what we're doing as far as studying the Bible. And we're going to have to take it to a higher court and continue to appeal. Our attorneys in Moscow say that we probably are going to need to take it all the way to the Russian equivalent of the Supreme Court. So I was a little disappointed that the case wasn't thrown out last Friday. We have a very strong case. We believe the law is on our side. And so that's where we're at right now. We're waiting on the next step of the appeals process.
So this is more a case where judges have reinterpreted the law to what they think it should be, and they're laying down judgment calls based on their interpretation, not on actually what the law literally says.
That is exactly right. If you had been in the courtroom and listened to the arguments, you would see that the law, as it's written, is completely on our side. And when the judge made a decision, it was almost like what we said wasn't even listened to. And my attorney says the judges on this level, they're local judges, they're really not independent. We had a lady judge. So far, both of the judges I've stood in front of were women, and that's fine. But the attorney told me that this lady probably has about 5 years before she's going to retire, and she's not going to risk her career on making a decision that might be unpopular with somebody higher up the chain of command. So they're not independent on this level. They pretty much just do what they're told. So apparently somebody further up is wanting to push this terrorism law onto religious groups.
So where does that leave you as far as your ministry there in Russia?
Well, ever since we were first charged with illegal activity, I made the decision not to make things worse by continuing to have meetings and hand out literature around town like we normally have done. We've been here for 14 years in this one city, never been bothered before. We've distributed hundreds of thousands of gospel tracts and had Bible studies and never have been bothered. It's been completely legal the whole time we've been here. And now they're trying to use a law that's not intended to be used against us and use it against us. So I'm not having meetings right now. Of course, obviously, I'm keeping in contact with the people. They're dear friends of ours, and I forgot to mention that. In the meantime, I sent my wife back to the United States. I was informed by a local attorney that it could be dangerous for me to be here. I don't know if he was just passing on a message to try to scare me, so that I wouldn't appeal the law. That's what he told me. Don't appeal this. Don't just pay the fine, go back to America, and forget the whole thing. Well, with that much of a threat, I'm going to send my wife to America where she's safe. But I stayed here. I feel like whether or not we're going to be able to continue our ministry here, I need to fight this battle for the sake not only of missionaries, but also for Russians, because if I don't have the right to read the Bible and pray with friends in my own home, then Russians don't have that right either.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not having meetings right now. I am keeping in touch with our people, and trying to give them some encouragement, and of course they're encouraging me too, probably as much or more than I'm trying to encourage them, but we're not having services at this point.
Brother Oswardy, I have Pastor Leonard Ludwig of who pastors in Clarksburg, and also Pastor Ken Lake, who pastors in Romney, West Virginia, and they're here with me, and they both have a question for you, and Brother Ludwig, if you want to go ahead and ask Brother Oswardy a question.
Brother Oswardy, it's Brother Ludwig from Clarksburg, West Virginia, but our church is really focused in on praying for you in this situation, and we even posted the pictures of when the policeman came into your church, and we have those pictures on our bulletin board, and I think a few of our folks are probably listening now because we put it on our prayer chain that you'd be on at this time. How should we pray for you? But then also, we just took on a young couple, the Skeen family. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they're
I know them very well. They're wonderful people, and you did a good job by taking them on for support.
And we was just wondering, you know, how do you think that's going to play out as far as them getting into to Russia?
Well, I know that the Skeens are planning to go to Ukraine for at least the first term. They have relatives who are missionaries in Ukraine, so that's where they'll go to get started. Hopefully, a couple of years down the road, things will settle down. I mean, things are going to settle down one way or the other if Russia completely closes its doors. I know the Skeens will be able to continue ministry in Ukraine. Hopefully, actually, they are planning to serve just a few hours from where I'm at. I'd be glad to have them in the neighborhood.
Amen. They are good people. Yes, sir. They were talking about when they went to visit there for a recent missionary or trip, and I guess the tanks were lining up because they were afraid that Russia was going to attack them there where they were at.
They're right on the border.
Yes.
I actually have been down to the city of Kharkiv, Ukraine, where Mrs. Skeen's father has been a missionary for many years. I've been down there many, many, many times. It's right on the border. It's right down in the direction of the war zone. And it could be one of the places that Russia would hit first if they do a new invasion. I mean, they've already done a couple of them, but if they do another one, that would be a likely place to get hit. So it's a hot spot.
So I guess, how should we pray for you?
Well, pray that our appeal will be successful. Pray that this law will be struck down so that it won't be used against believers. It was designed to be used against terrorists, Muslims, and those types of things. And just pray that the higher level of government would get some sense and back off on religious freedom issues. Pray that I'm trying to sell my apartment right now. I think that's a reasonable step. If I'm going to have to leave, it would be good for me to just sell my apartment. I could live in the church house if I have to.
Okay.
But I am trying to sell my apartment, so that would be a prayer point as well. I appreciate so much you keeping this issue in front of your people, and I want to thank each and every one of them that have prayed for us. It's been obvious that somebody's praying for us. I can feel it.
Amen.
This is Pastor Lake from Maranatha Baptist Church in Romney, West Virginia. I just want to tell you that we appreciate your steadfastness there.
Amen.
And your dedication to the work. And I know you know this, but I feel like I need to tell you that we're on the same team and that we love you. And we know that no matter what, God's in control of everything. And I guess my question would be, can this happen in America, and do you have a word of encouragement for Americans? Because, this is an election year. We're facing an election coming up, and I think we as Americans need to take our religious freedoms seriously because, we're not immune to this. Do you have anything to say according to that?
Yes, absolutely. I've got my word of encouragement to the American people would be to look around and stand up, because it's no longer acceptable for us to just let the culture go in the same direction that it's been going. We need to stand for truth and right.
A
little bit different issue, but my children in their church in Elgin, Illinois, I'm sure you're familiar with Pastor Gomez, I think he preaches on your station.
Mm-hmm.
They go to his church, and the school district there in Elgin has adopted a policy in line with the Obama administration's guidelines to allow transgendering students to use whatever bathroom or locker room they feel like they want to. And there have been literally dozens and dozens of people from the church that have gone to the school board meetings. They have spoken up. My own son and my daughter mm-hmm. both spoke at the school board meeting. And those were things we never dreamed we'd have to do just
right.
a few years
That's
ago.
Right.
But we're going to have to do them now. You need to get involved. You need to, you know, there's going to be religious freedom issues. Your preacher is going to be challenged if he says something that doesn't fit with the culture, and the people need to stand up and support him. Preachers
mm-hmm.
need to be brave and speak out on these issues that are scriptural issues of morality and truth and right. And this is not the time to quiet down. This is the time to stand up and speak up. And if I could encourage you back home in on the home front, fight the fight. It's time.
Amen, Amen. Brother.
Amen. Well, Brother Washwari, we appreciate being able to call over there and talk to you, and thank you for updating us on what's going on. We'll keep you in our prayers, and we hope all the best for you and your case and the case of religious freedom there in Russia.
God bless
thank
you, brother.
Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you.
All right. Thank you. And we're back here on the desk at WVGB's Fall Share-a-thon. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back and go over our giving plans. If you'd like to call in and pledge your support to West Virginia's Gospel Voice, you can do so by calling 304-873-2225.
Soon the storms will all be over, and the winds will blow no more. The sun will